than exactly what we're supposed to do in fellowship. And we accommodate this a bit in our church buildings. We refer to certain rooms as fellowship rooms, suggesting that what happens in there, namely potlucks and other significantly important occasions like that, are what's involved in fellowship. And what we're trying to do is to look, is to point out that the New Testament actually asks us to do, to take some actions toward each other, and that these actions are the expressions of fellowship. And that these are ways in which God stays involved in the lives of His people, and in which we help each other grow and bear fruit and get to heaven. So in these are things that enrich our lives in the Lord's family. Tonight, greet one another. And we are, as I've pointed out before, up to now, we'll be in a different book next week, but up to now, we've just taken the one another's in the order that they have come in the last chapters of the book of Romans. And this is the last one of these. Actually, in Romans 16, Paul calls for greeting to be made 28 times, or about 28 times, as best I can count. A lot of them have to do with him expressing his greetings or calling for greeting to be made to individuals among the Romans whom he knew and whom he had worked with, who had been laborers with him in the Lord's kingdom and who were precious to him in that way. He calls some of them his mothers, some of them his fathers, some of them his brothers, some of them he refers to in other ways to express their value to him, which is what greeting one another is. When we get to Romans 16, everybody knows, most of us know, the last part of this verse. The first part, however, is strangely overlooked in terms of its significance. He has said in the previous verse, greet Philologus and Julia and Nereus and his sister and Olympus and all the saints who are with them. And then greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Now, if I ask for the action that's called for here, it would be easy to say it's the kiss. But the kiss, however, was the means of conveying an action. The action that is called for is to greet one another. One another means this is every member of the family's business. This is a task for all of us. It calls for something to happen in the gathering of the church, but it also calls for certain things among us in other ways as well. You'll notice that this term that's used here is translated salute in the King James Version or the American Standard Version to indicate, I think, that this is a significant kind of greeting that he's calling for. In all the other versions that I can find, from the American Standard until now, 1901 till now, it's translated greet or some similar term. In a case or two, it's translated welcome even. It signifies, and this is what the Greek lexicons say, to welcome, to express good wishes, or to pay respects. Now, without going any farther, what kind of action do you think this calls for when we gather together as a group of Christians? Handshake, Ruth said. Bearing or caring, all right. Let me ask it a different way. Have you done it tonight? I saw Gail doing this a while ago. This is a part of our task in fellowship. Let me say it this way: when someone does this to you, pay respects, express good wishes, welcome, how does it make you feel? Uplifting. All right, that's a term I would use as well. Anybody else? How does it make you feel when someone actually seeks you out and does this for you? Makes you feel special. Makes you feel valued. Makes you feel worth something. Makes you feel important. To whom? This is the Lord's people doing it. So if the Lord's people make you feel that way, did you listen to what David said a while ago? Who is actually doing this? The Lord's people do this to you. Isn't that how the Lord reminds you that you are important, that you're valued, that you're special to Him? What kinds of things that people do, that your brothers and sisters do you take as this kind of treatment or this kind of greeting? Years ago, when I was a college student, one of our courses, we had to go interview guys who were at the time church leaders, and I got to go visit Joe Barnett. Joe was the preacher for the Broadway church in Lubbock at the time, which was the second largest congregation in the Brotherhood at that time. And the things we talked about to me were, I had one other college student with me, and he told us the things that he had noticed in trying to meet with the church and work with the congregation in time. One thing he said that I thought was funny was, one of the things that you watch for, that you want to be careful on Sunday morning when you are greeting people, is asking them how they are, because somebody will tell you. And then what will you do? So over the years, you think about what kind of things that people do you take as that? Ruth mentioned handshaking. I think that's one of them. I high-five some of the kids, or try to. I fist bump a few people. With the ones who I think will take it well, I hug them. I don't think I've ever done it by means of a kiss. The proof of that is I'm still here. You know, but you see what I'm getting at is the important thing here. Is this greeting. There is a case or two in the New Testament where the same word is used metaphorically and figuratively, in other words, and it means to embrace mentally or to welcome to the heart an understanding of something. And one example of this is Hebrews 11 and verse 13. I'll just read it. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Greeted or welcomed from afar. In our case, this is to greet or to welcome in person, in order to make it to the place that is still promised to us. Now, the means of this is a kiss. I went with Gerald Nichols to Romania a few years ago, a couple of times, and I noticed in that part of the world, this was still a frequent means of greeting or welcoming among them. I never had seen it where I grew up. The only place I saw it would be Aunt so-and-so or Granny so-and-so, you know, and in my family, there were so many of us that success was kind of maintaining your own space. You know, you wanted to do that. I wasn't real familiar with that kind of thing, but I'd see that. And here's a couple thoughts that I think may be useful here. First off, the kiss was the customary greeting in their time and place and in their culture. It wasn't something that Christianity started. It didn't begin with this command of Paul in Romans to do this. This is already their way of saying hello or expressing goodwill or paying respects. It was normally a cheek kiss, I'll call it, to convey acceptance and affection. It's something that took place in the public setting, not simply the private deal. And from what I can tell, this could happen on the forehead, it could involve a kiss of a hand, or something like that, but more often, I used to see the Russians on TV, remember whenever there was a, in the years when I would see it in the news during the Cold War days, and it all seemed strange to you, you know, you're supposed to be unfamiliar, and you'd see them grab each other by the shoulders, and then one side, and then the other side, a kiss on the cheek. And that would be maybe their way. This was in their culture the way they expressed acceptance and affection in public. It was also the common practice, especially among relatives and friends. Remember the father of the prodigal? That was a reunion. He fell on his neck and kissed him, if you remember that. Hosts and guests in their culture, this was the way a guest was recognized by the host. Or maybe also in more formal gatherings as a means of expressing respect and sometimes even submission if this was done with regard to someone in a place of authority. Now, think about what we're saying. I want to back up a little. The action is the greet. The means of the action is the kiss. And the nature of it, this is the qualifier, it's holy. What does holy mean? Pardon? All right, it's going to call for something which is pure and especially motive-wise. What else does holy mean? Set apart, right? How about the word sacred? I think you could use that. This is something which belongs to God. I'll say it that way. And I think that would be an appropriate way of thinking about this. Now, this same instruction is given by Paul four other times. The last one does not have the one another in it. But three other times he calls on brothers who are at peace and whole to greet each other with a holy kiss. Peter refers to it not with the word holy, but as the kiss of love. 1 Peter 5 and verse 14. I might flip over here and just note that one with you. Just simply says, greet one another with the kiss of the love. Peace to all who are in Christ. The one another is all who are in Christ. The kiss of love is intended to communicate not only love, but peace, which was their way of greeting and expressing a desire for well-being. And we could sum it up then by saying that this holy kiss is the sacred, sincere, genuine greeting of peace among friends in the Lord. And 3 John, the last verse of the little letter of 3 John, here's what it says. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. So one of the things we do in our service, usually on Sunday morning, is we'll get together and somebody get up and extend a greeting. We start that way. This, however, is calling for there to be interaction in which we greet each by name. We learn each other's name. We greet each other, expressing respect and well wishes to each other. And we do so in order to communicate love and peace, especially. Now, doesn't that bring to your mind a certain kind of atmosphere and a certain kind of interaction among the Lord's people? It does in my mind. And it makes me always appreciate the degree of this, which I can see, and it makes me also always feel bad about the ways in which I know we fall short of this. I stand out at the door and try to say hello to people who walk by, and that's a poor job of it. And sometimes I notice people who walk in the building without saying anything to anybody and who walk out without anybody saying anything to them. And I think to myself, if we don't do this when we're together for a meeting, it's pretty unlikely we're doing it for each other at any other time. So when I think of, all right, let's have a greeting committee. Well, when you read these verses, who is the greeting committee? Everybody. Everybody who's in Christ. And this calls for an interaction. So the idea would be, I think part of the Lord's plan would be, you know, if we're engaged in this, We're going to build some bridges. We're going to establish a sense of belonging. We're going to feel like we are valued and important. There are going to be days when I don't feel like it, when you don't feel like it. We got burdens. We got problems. But that's why it calls for all of us to do it together to the best degree we can. Now, I can illustrate, I think, the importance of this with some negative comparisons, where the kiss or the lack thereof shows up, and you can see when you think about it that an attitude is being discussed here and not simply exactly how physically you go about the kiss. Look at Luke 7 and verse 45. You remember this is the time Jesus gets invited to the house of a Pharisee. His name is Simon. And that goes in the blank on your paper, by the way. Simon has asked the Lord to his house just apparently to watch him and evaluate him. And there's a lady, well, that's the problem. She wasn't a lady. A woman from the city who was regarded as a sinner, I suppose because she had been. And she looks to me like she's an individual for whom Jesus has already done something. And I say that because of the illustration that he uses about who will love the most. But she stands behind Jesus, behind his feet as he's reclined at the table, weeping, and she starts to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head and to kiss his feet and to anoint them with ointment. This turns out to be loving much because she's forgiven much. And when you get to I mean, none of this gets, the Pharisee is thinking in his heart of hearts, if this man were a prophet, he would have known what kind of woman this is, and he wouldn't have let her even get near him, much less touch him. And when Jesus addresses him, he uses the illustration, and he makes Simon admit that somebody who has been forgiven more will love more. And then Jesus says to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. That was an ordinary sign of courtesy and respect. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no what? Kiss. What does that mean? He had not even shown the Lord the common social courtesy of a welcome. No respect or well wishes had been extended because he had the Lord there to judge him. The wrong man was doing the judging. And the kiss, the absence of the kiss, definitely showed there's something wrong in Simon's heart here. All right, a second case of this is in Matthew 23. And you'll notice here that the scribes and the Pharisees are having woe pronounced on them. For what reason? What problem in the lives of the scribes and Pharisees is Jesus pronouncing woe upon in Matthew 23? Does it several times. They're hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? An actor, somebody who... a hypocrite is somebody who says one thing without intending to do it. We all have high goals that we fall short of, but a hypocrite says one thing while his heart's going in another direction. That's two different things. He doesn't... One of the things I've heard, a hypocrite is somebody who doesn't intend to be what he pretends to be. All right? And in this case here, at Matthew 23, verses 5 and 6, they do all their deeds to be seen by others. He talks about the little boxes they had on their heads, carrying little pieces of the law in it, and their fringes on their garments they make long so they all stand out and everybody sees. They love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. They like to for other people to see that they are recognized for their piety. They don't like making other people feel important. They like looking important. And that's the wrong interest in this in the process of greeting. And then the more famous one, Matthew 27. And he kissed him. Who is that? Judas. Is the problem with Judas' kiss that he used the kiss for the greeting, or that the greeting was not holy, that kiss was not holy? Which is it? The problem is not that he kissed Jesus. The problem is the reason for which he kissed Jesus, isn't it? Remember, I'll read the passage. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, the one I kiss is the man. Seize him. And he came to Jesus at once and said, greetings, Rabbi. And he kissed him. So you see, the problem is not, I mean, here are greetings and a kiss, but it sure isn't a holy kiss, is it? And that's the problem or the issue that we have here. So you can kind of see what we're being asked to do by recognizing these bad examples of it here, in the opposite direction. Now, this is, I suppose, where we all want to get to. How does this apply to us? How do we do what this is calling on us to do here? And I've got some statements I want to share with you, and then I've brought with me some quotes that I thought might be of interest to all of us. First, to apply this, we bear in mind that this is not an injunction to create a custom, but to purify one that's already being used so that it may convey true love and peace. I think that's an important part. Moses Lard, years ago, wrote, upon the whole, he said, I take this view. The apostle, by his injunction, does not create the custom, for it was prevalent at the time. He meant merely to purify it. Hence, he says, greet one another with a holy kiss. And then he goes ahead to observe that where the custom of the kiss is present, it's to be holy. Where that's not the way in which greeting is expressed, then whatever is used is also to be holy. I think he's on the right track with that. Second thing to observe, the principle here is that among us, now think about what I'm saying, among us there is to be a verbal greeting that is confirmed by a visible and tangible gesture. You think I'm on the wrong track with that, Bill?
I'll tell you a story. It's going right into that. Let me put you in sight. There's a man named Wrigley from Chicago went into New York and went to his big building in New York, walked in, and everybody greeted him. And they got them all together and said, I was so disappointed in all of them. He said, why? Because not one of you asked me to buy a package of joints.
Well, in this case, the thing might be that if we have folks who walk in to our midst and not one of us greets them or pays respects and make them feel special or valuable, then they would feel like Mr. Wrigley felt there. Look at my point here, a verbal greeting that's confirmed by a visible and tangible gesture. All right, we mentioned some that you make you feel this way a while ago. What are some? No kidding now. What are some? Would it be wrong if someone here a few weeks ago, somebody on the way out grabbed me and gave me a kiss? I see Carrie Cole doing this sometimes in cases where I think it makes people uncomfortable. I don't think that's what we're after here, is it? He does it as a little bit of a joke. What are some ways in which we communicate? A smile. That is a visible and tangible gesture. I am glad to see you. Great example. Anybody else? Handshake. A good, meaningful handshake. Look the person in the eye, shake the hand, and say, I'm so glad to see you. What are some others? A pat on the back. All right, an old-fashioned hug, Dennis said. I think the pat on the back is the one that would stand out to me. Someone putting a hand on your shoulder and actually touching you. You realize in our culture, the kind or meaningful touch is missing. Oh, no, we bump into each other, but Well, there are other ways like that. The fist bump, the high five with, I mean, those are ways too. Sometimes you can just stick your hand out like that and let the little one slap it, and that's good enough. Call her names. Well, as long as you can remember it. I mean, call her name. And then where this kiss is not a practice with the same meaning as it had in that culture, in most of the Western countries this would be the case, then the command is best obeyed through an action that does convey that meaning, like the ones that we've just talked about. The purpose of these greetings among the Lord's people is to express the unity of the church, both congregational unity and brotherhood-wide unity. And then the greeting in this sense that we're talking about it tonight is the symbol of fellowship, joint participation or partnership, and then of holiness, that is, we belong to the Lord's, to the Lord, He owns us. We're a part of His people. Fellowship and holiness. Now, I was afraid we might get to the end like this and have maybe not a lot of extra time. Notice the practical, some practical things there. If we're going to be able to do this, it requires that we do really care and that there be nothing between us. That we, if there are things between us, I mean, you're not going to go up and look somebody in the eye and give him a warm greeting when there's a coldness between you. So those things have to be dealt with like Matthew 18 says. You go back to Matthew 18, you see. Secondly, since this is a spiritual task, and it is, this is among the Lord's people, it requires us to make a serious effort to develop interest in other people, and not just to wait till they do to us. And then the third thing, since this involves aspect of physical contact and affection, it requires discretion or wisdom. When I was a much younger man in a different place, we had one brother who made it his practice to always go and give the big bear hug. And some of our young ladies, some of their husbands, were uncomfortable with that. It caused some problems in the church because it was not done wisely and thoughtfully, and there wasn't the sensitivity to, listen, if you're expressing a greeting in a way that you can see makes somebody uncomfortable, do it in a different way. And so there needs to be some thoughtfulness about it in that manner there. But it needs to never become an excuse for our standing off in the corner and not engaging in a greeting. Here's a quote I found. This originated from Vine, W. Vine, in the commentary, his commentary. There was to be an absence of formality and hypocrisy, a freedom from prejudice arising from social distinctions, from discrimination against the poor, from partiality towards the well-to-do. In the churches, masters and servants would thus salute one another without any attitude of condescension on the part of on the one part or disrespect on the other. If you get to thinking about it, that kind of action would have been a wonder all its own. Anything else? I want to mention one other thing. You might have seen this in some of the stuff Johnny made known. Jim and Ruth, you might notice Jim and Ruth are not with us tonight. Jim and Ruth had a pipe in their apartment burst the other day, and it completely flooded their place. And they're having to, remember what where it is they're being, they're having to stay right now. I mean, they only got out with a couple of changes of clothes and all of that. And they're while the place is being fixed, they're just having to stay somewhere else. And so that's why they're missing from our class tonight. I sure appreciate you guys all being with us. Thanks for your thinking along with us in this series.